Welcome to Healing with Worth, a podcast dedicated to healthy recovery and instilling hope in the wake of betrayal trauma. We are women who have experienced this intimately and want to offer hope to other women. While we may interview professionals on the show, the content should not be taken as therapeutic advice and is not meant to replace therapeutic healing. If you would like to join one of our free online Worth groups to help with your betrayal trauma, you may find us at healingwithworth.org. Welcome to Healing with Worth. We are so glad to be back with you again today. And we have another wonderful guest. We've had her on our show before. This is Jody Van Dremlin. And she was actually one of Janine and I's first therapists as we came into Worth. And so we are just so excited to have her with us today. We're going to talk a little bit about some analogies that we actually learned from her. And it's weather checking and when the wind blows. And we kind of felt like this was an important topic to help those of you who are kind of going through this and kind of wondering, how do I gauge where my husband's at and what's going on? And so we really hope that this is helpful and enlightening today, and I'm going to turn it over to Jody to go ahead and introduce herself. Kind of tell us, Jody, a little bit about what brought you to this work and a little bit about yourself.
Well, first of all, I'm a Texan by birth, and some of the things I'm going to share with you today are very Texan. So there are analogies that I'm very, very familiar with. I am a licensed clinical social worker in Arlington, Texas, and I have been in practice for, gosh, a long time now. I haven't counted. But anyway, I came to Worth years ago. Basically, I started with the Men Moroni program. I called Maurice Harker. After I opened my practice here, it was pornography, addiction, and betrayal trauma was running through my doors. And I had never received any training on this. And so I spent about 2 years looking and trying to figure out, how do I help the people I have in front of me as a clinician? And in that process of 2 years of reading and studying all kinds of very interesting stuff, I came across Maurice Harker's work. And I called him one day and I just said, I have read all of your things. I've watched all your videos. How do I bring what you do to Texas? And he politely declined and said, they feel like men ought to train men. And I basically said, well, your program is based on the story of young men that were strong because their mothers taught them. And he said, oh, and he said, let me think about this. And he then invited me later to be a part of the Men Moroni program. So I started working with the addicts first. And I don't run the groups like Men Moroni is. I run individually. I teach the concepts one-on-one. After I had been doing that a little bit, I just received a call from Worth and they asked me if I would like to work with the women. And the answer was absolutely yes. I was thrilled to do that. I had enough information and experience right now to start working with them. But I also went through a 12-week training course with Dr. Skinner through ADDO. And so I'm also an ADDO trained therapist, also in betrayal trauma. I also run 4 groups of Worth every week and have done that for years. I work with probably about 60 to 80 women, depending on how many show up in a week. And I've been doing that. I'm the longest serving therapist with Worth. I am in my 5th year right now doing this, working with the women. So I've had a lot of experience and I've heard a lot of their stories and felt a lot of their pain and tried to help along the way. So that's what brings me to Worth. And I feel passionate about this work. I feel that there's not enough clinicians that understand it. And so a lot of times the information they get from well-meaning therapists is not helpful. And so I just try to give my time and teach anywhere I can. And I teach other clinicians. Often I will have people in my community come to me and I sit and just train them to know what to do, because they do so much damage if they don't know what to do. So I am head over heels all the way in this doing it. I also have a private practice too, but the thing I prefer to do is work with women, because I just love this work.
Well, we appreciate your help. We appreciate your passion. We have benefited greatly from your influence and your teachings, and I feel that I can speak for Naomi as well when I say that we are all in as well in this work. We have been greatly affected, and we want to be a support to other women, and we want to convey the things that we know to other women so that they can find hope and healing for themselves, because it is a very traumatic experience for sure.
Yes.
So thank you for joining us. I appreciate you sharing about your journey. And this concept that we're going to talk about, weather checks, is that a phrase that you coined or Maurice coined, or where do we get that from?
Well, I know if you do an internet search for it, because I want to see if there was any literature out there, it's unique to Worth. It was one, I don't know who originally coined it. It was one that was taught to me originally. I had other words for it, but I like that idea. The idea of the weather check is, you know, when you are getting ready to get dressed in the morning, you often go out. I used to go put my hand on my window to see if it was cold enough to need a sweater, you know, or you look out and you see if it's raining, it's blowing, and it kind of gauges what you do next is on that weather check.
Yeah. How you prepare, how you dress to go out in that weather.
Yeah. Whether you're going to take a coat or layered or wear your galoshes, mm-hmm. you know, is all a weather check idea. And we do that normally in life. And so it transfers really well over to when we're working with the addicts, because we don't know how they're doing sometimes. And so we check in to gauge what are our next steps after that. And part of it is because the reason we have to check is because the pattern of living with men with a sex addiction is there is often lies or withholding of information, and there has been actual acting out that has been painful. And so there are many times when we start to feel that we can't trust them, and they've lied to us verbally so many times that we can't trust a verbal, oh yeah, everything's fine. We need something a little more finely tuned to assess whether or not we are safe in the relationship right now, safe to connect emotionally, safe to connect physically, safe to connect mentally. And a lot of times what happens is, without knowing how to do that, we may engage with them and just get squished again, you know, get run over by that truck of their behavior. And so it's important for the sisters to develop something they can do so that they can feel safe and know when they can connect and when they should withdraw and when they should disconnect from them. And so that's what the weather checking is all about. And that history of mistrust, I mean, of deceit, has just equaled this mistrust and a need for this higher skill.
Yeah, I love that. So for our listeners, can you give us an example of kind of what a weather check looks like? Like, we talked a little bit about putting your hand on the window, see what the weather is to prepare how to get dressed. So what are some of the other ways that, and how does that translate into checking the weather with your spouse when he's not verbally
trustworthy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let me do the where the wind blows first, because it kind of all, first of all, you've got to understand when you need a weather check. Okay. So down here in Texas, we have hurricanes along the Gulf Coast. And down to Galveston, if you ever go down to Galveston, what you're going to notice is that the houses are built differently down there because of the hurricanes. And the people who live in Galveston can look out and see when the ocean is going, when something's blowing in. They know, oh, a storm is coming, just by looking at the ocean, because they're experienced. But the problem is, we have a lot of tourists that come to Galveston and they don't know that. They're kind of brand new to the beaches. They come once a year. And so they've set up a really interesting warning signals down in Galveston. They have a flag system on the beaches, and they have these little PVC poles that have flags on them. A green flag means go ahead, go in the water, have a great time. A yellow flag means caution, things are coming in. And a red flag means don't get in the water, it's dangerous. Okay. And so there are the women that are new to figuring out betrayal trauma need the warning flag save system. You need to know, what do I engage? Do I not engage? Am I watching right now? What am I doing? And so what happens for the people in Galveston is, when the wind is blowing and things are coming in, they do some really interesting things. Number one, they look out to the sea and kind of see they evaluate. Number two, they are going to check and see what's going on. And then they may do some things. If they feel like the storm is coming, they'll do some things to prepare. They will close down the shutters. They've got shutters that shutter the windows, so the glass won't blow in with a hurricane wind. They gas up their cars, and they get gas for their generators, because when the wind blows, you lose the generators. They go to the grocery store and they stock up on really important things like bread and milk and M&Ms, because, you know, we need those. And things you can cook on a grill, because they may not have any cooking stuff after the wind blows through. You may not have power for weeks. And so they stock all that up. And then they go into their homes and they turn on their weather radios and they listen to see if they can stay, because sometimes the news is you need to evacuate. Okay. Now, the way this kind of tunes into how Worth is, it's a lot like When the Wind Blows in Galveston looks a lot like what we do as sisters. First of all, the more experienced you get, the more you'll be able to read the signs. You'll be able to know, like, when he all of a sudden is just angry all the time, or when he's withdrawing and he is isolating himself, or when he is constantly on his phone and he takes it everywhere with him and he gets really angry if you touch his phone. I mean, it's all these little things that you kind of get a signal. It's kind of like a tornado siren. Tornado sirens go off to say, wait, something's wrong. Go check. Here in Texas, well, I'm in North Texas, where South Texas has hurricanes, North Texas has tornadoes. And when I hear a tornado sign, I go look outside. If the rain is coming straight down, I know I'm okay. I just need to be aware. If the wind is blowing sideways, I know that I am on the edge of a hurricane, a tornado, and I need to take shelter right now. So those triggers that you are seeing, or maybe it's just something that you feel on the inside. You just feel like something is off with him right now. He's not connecting. I feel like there's a barrier between us. Because when these guys start to participate in this, they often withdraw because they feel guilty just looking at you. Or they're trying to say, oh, I've got to be like, I can't be by her because she'll know something's wrong. So you just intrinsically feel like something is wrong. And that's why you start to look. So let's kind of do the analogy. When the wind blows is kind of when the trigger happens, when you're seeing or feeling like something else and something is wrong. Looking out to the sea for evaluation is where you start to watch his other behaviors. What are you seeing with him? Like if he normally gets up early and he goes to work and those kind of things, and he's a perky person, no problem. But all of a sudden now, if he just is hard to get out of bed, if he's not really connecting in the mornings, and that's not normal, then you're going, okay, something is different here. I'm seeing something is different. Then the next thing is, what do you want? What do you feel? Are you feeling safe right now? Or is that trigger making you feel unsafe? And realize triggers are for a reason. Triggers happen because your body has a memory, or your mind has a memory of a time when this happened and then that bad thing followed it. So the triggers are good things because they warn us. Okay. So we are going to get in touch with that and say, wait a minute, I'm being triggered right now. The weather checks are, this is the point now when we're going to kind of run a weather check. Okay. And a weather check is basically really, really easy. One of the things you want to do that can be helpful is, if you feel comfortable enough, go up and put your hand on his chest. And then ask this question. And what you're going to do is you're going to feel what his body reaction is to this. You may feel a tensing of the muscles. You may feel an increase in heart rate. You may see him, as you're that close to him, you may see him like take a double take, like, oh no, she knows, kind of a feel. But you're going to get close and put your hand on his chest. And then just simply ask this question. I feel like something's off with you right now. Are you okay? And watch what the reaction is going to be. Watch for the dilation of his eyes. Watch for the increasing heart rate. Watch for his feeling of, oh no. You know, you'll be able to, you read body language really well. That's one of the blessings of being a woman, is that we read body language. Part of your trigger might have just been a body reading clue that you saw from him. And so just stand there and then see what he says. If he immediately backs away from you, or anything that feels like he's avoiding, even though his words may say everything's fine, trust what you are feeling with him. Honor that feeling. And if you don't feel safe after what he says, then it's time for you to do what the people in Galveston do. The people in Galveston then begin to prepare as if the hurricane is going to come ashore. You need to start preparing as if he hasn't already acted out, then he is probably almost ready to, if you're feeling that from him, or he's teetering on the edge. But either way, we want to be prepared so that if it does come ashore, we're still going to be okay.
So really quick, in this aspect here that we're talking about weather checking and putting your hand on his chest. So in a situation where maybe that's not something that a woman feels like she can do, maybe some alternatives in regard to that, because I can say for my situation, being separated and and everything that's going on, that's not something that I'm going to walk up to my husband and put my hand on his chest. And so maybe what are some other examples of weather checking that maybe you can do from a distance to kind of see, just so that our audience can kind of get some other ideas?
Okay, well, some of the weather check, the actual weather check requires interaction between them. But what you can do ahead of that is, I feel triggered, something is off, we're going to start watching behaviors. You're going to start watching, what is he doing that is different? Or is there something happening here that what's different about what I'm seeing or feeling? So it may be like he's now isolating, or he comes home late from work every day, or he sits at dinner and doesn't engage with the family where he was before. So that when you see that disconnection from him in your observation, that can be like the beginning of a weather check, like something is different here. Okay. So, but just you're watching, you know him well enough to know when things are different with him. And so before the weather check, or maybe a pre-weather check, would be observation of his behaviors.
If the pattern of withdrawing has been more the consistent, you know, the rule rather than the exception, mm-hmm. what do you do in that kind of case when they're in a pattern of avoiding and withdrawing? Pretty much, you know, that's their pattern.
Yeah. Well, you're now looking for like reaction things. So like, is he got a quicker fuse? Look at his anger levels. And because a lot of times, even if they're always withdrawn, now all of a sudden they're more angry. They may get more demanding or less patient and in that. And I, you know, you ladies, this is a fine line, and I know it is, but you know them well enough to know when something is off. And if you look at this, if it's just a bad day, it'll be one day. But if it's like day after day after day after day, you see this continuing pattern, withdrawing, anger, lack of patience, maybe a continual gaslighting, those kind of things, then you're going to see that something is off. Because a guy who's working recovery, if he really is working recovery, he is recognizing he's doing things to mitigate those things. He's not allowing himself to withdraw. He understands if I'm getting angry, his chemicals are probably off. That's what that means. For those that aren't familiar with that idea, we have a chemical scale that we kind of look at with these guys. And a zero means everything is good. I'm zeroed out. I'm happy. I'm content. A four means you're sitting on the edge of acting out, because they get more and more angry, more agitated. Their negative emotions are starting to raise. And the reason that they're getting up to that four is because they're needing to self-soothe. Unfortunately, with a lot of these guys, they don't have they don't know how to self-soothe without porn, because porn has become their way to self-soothe. So as they are trying to stay away from the porn, but they don't do anything else, it's increasing the agitation. It's increasing the anger. It's increasing the frustration. And so when you see those increasing negative behaviors, you know, the wind's blowing. He's about to blow his top. Either he needs to know what to do to calm it down, or he's going to go ahead and act out to calm it down. But we can't expect that he's not going to just blow his top at some point if he doesn't do something. And I think all of us can relate to that. We have all gotten to the places where life is overwhelming. And if we don't take a break and we don't handle it well, then we become the worst version of ourselves. In their particular case, they then start to act out. That's normal. That's what, because that's the pattern that they've established throughout their life, is I get to this point, I act out, it calms it down, and then I can go on with my life. So when you're seeing increasing negative behaviors, increasing anger, increasing withdrawal, all of those things, then you can say, okay, I may not be able to stand close to him, put his hand on my chest, but you can ask the question no matter what. And that's what I think, that's the culminating moment when you make the decision whether or not you need to protect yourself or if everything is okay. If you ask the question, and the question again is, I feel like something's off, are you okay right now? If they blow their top at that conversation, you can say, okay, I'm not safe right now and I need to go into protection mode. Okay. Now, a guy in recovery will look at you and say, I'm doing fine. I'm just frustrated right now, but I'm handling it. You can even ask, you know, what are you doing to handle your emotions? If it's a guy in recovery, he'll tell you. If he's got a plan, he'll do it. And he may say, I'm going to go to the gym this afternoon. I'm just going to work out because I know I need to go get my chemicals balanced and take him back down, get rid of that frustration through that wonderful vehicle. But a guy not in recovery is just going to get angry because he knows, you know, And he's also angry at himself, so you know that, because he doesn't know what to do right now. And he can feel the storm coming in, that hurricane coming in, that's just going to come in and destroy him again. And he's going to do something to hurt you and the family. And they don't want that, just you know that. None of these guys want to behave this way. They just get to a critical place where they don't know what else to do. And so they justify doing it one more time to calm it down. But until they learn skills, they won't be able to know how to calm it down all the time. And when they get into a bad space, they will return to the pornography and masturbation pattern that they have had, because it works. It's quick, it's efficient, and it works. It calms it all down. But of course, on the other side of that is that quick return to shame that starts the process all over again for them. So it's kind of an awful, horrible loop that they're in. Okay.
Well, and I would say even before the acting out, they have like pre-shame. I think that's part of that cycle, is the pre-shame that comes in that makes it even worse, right? Because they know they're in a place where they can't handle. So they've got shame about that. They've got shame that you probably can sense it, mm-hmm. you know? And so it's this cycle, and they're kind of spinning in their own heads and in their own minds. So
yeah, the pre-shame is kind of an ongoing thing that they really have trouble with, because they know they've acted out in the past. They know they've hurt you in the past. They know that they've done this thing they don't like. They hate themselves for doing this. And so anytime they start moving towards acting out again, there's like a panic button that goes off. The shame all runs right back in again. And it increases the negative emotions that are more likely to pull them into it. But that's an internal battle that is really tough to get rid of. Usually the guys, when they finally start to have some recovery skills and are able to fight these battles and to push them down, then they start to let go of some of that shame, because finally they know what to do and they have a little hope that they won't do this again. They know something else they can do besides go back to that same pattern.
Yeah. Let's talk about weather check now. Let's move into that.
Well, the weather check is just what I just described. The weather check is where you assess, am I okay, by having this statement, are you okay? I feel like you're off, are you okay? If you see at that point that you see a reaction, a negative reaction from that statement, then you know that you need to protect. You need to get into that protection mode. So the first thing might be that you start with like the shutters on the home. You start to disconnect from him and create safety through disconnection. And it may be, okay, I know that he's in this space and I'm going to spend less time. I'm going to have less conversations. I'm going to just pull away enough that I can create emotional disconnection.
I feel like there are many men out there who are okay with that disconnection. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's almost what they would prefer, because then they don't have to deal with their spouse.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And my husband doesn't get angry. He's not in these cycles that you're describing. Like, they're very difficult for me to understand. I do not believe that he is acting out.
Okay.
But these things that you describe are very difficult for me to even assess in his patterns, because he likes, I think he's very content with avoiding me, avoiding the relationship. And so these patterns of withdrawal are just very consistent with him. Mm-hmm. Like, we could go, we're separated right now, and I bet we could go the rest of our lives and he would not reach out. Mm-hmm. And so I guess that's a weather check in and of itself.
Well, the weather checks are really designed to assess if he is going to, his possibility of acting out.
Right. Okay.
So it's a little bit different.
Okay.
What you're talking about is something different than weather check. Is about, you use this with active addiction.
Gotcha.
Okay. What you're describing is a pattern of, he just would rather not be there. That's
relational.
Yeah, that's a relational problem. And so the weather check is really not for this. It's for the active addict who is still struggling, And it's just meant to create a question and to see if you are safe, and if not, create safety.
Okay. I'm glad you clarified that. Thank you very much.
Yeah. The other, we should do a whole nother thing on that.
Just Okay. Gotcha. But that makes, actually, that is so helpful. Actually, what you just described, that this is specifically for the acting out behaviors.
Yes. It's
not the relational component of it. Gotcha. Yeah.
Okay. Weather checking is really meant tied to addiction behaviors, acting out behaviors.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the first thing we do is just disconnect some emotionally, however much you feel like you need. It may be, I'm sorry, I don't feel, I still feel like something is not okay. I'm going to go sleep in the other room tonight, or I want you on the couch, or I'm going to leave for a few days. It depends on your level of what you need there to create safety, because disconnection creates at least some emotional safety for you. Okay. Number two, that gas for the generator, fill up the car, get the M&Ms thing. What that looks like for us is increased self-care. You're going to make certain at this point that you're ready to stand in the storm if it comes ashore with dignity and grace. And the way we do that, ladies, is making certain that we are centered and grounded. And so we do things like extra self-care, maybe more time in the scriptures, or more time taking care of your physical body, getting enough to eat decently, getting some sleep, interacting with girlfriends, doing the things that bring joy into our lives. So we increase, and a lot of times, ladies, I'm going to be honest, you ladies, I know, struggle with the idea of consistent self-care. So a lot of times these things are hitting you also at a low anyway in your self-care, and it's time to go, okay, this is coming ashore. I'm not prepared. I need to get prepared. I'm going to do something about this, and I'm going to look at my self-care plan. And by the way, all of you should have an ongoing self-care plan, not a catch-as-catch-can plan, okay?
Yeah.
So we look at our self-care at this point, and we increase that. We also sometimes, depending on the severity of what it is you have been facing, you may also need to have that weather radio kind of experience where you are ready to evacuate if needed. Okay. You have made plans about, if this is really bad, what am I going to do? Am I going to pack up and take the kids to mom's? Am I going to go to a hotel? Am I going to go to my sister's? If I need to actually leave the home physically, what am I going to do? And maybe even to the point of, you pack bags and you have them available to go. Because sometimes in these storms, you need to evacuate. I've had some sisters who, when the storm came ashore, it was so awful that I had one sister just last week who, her home was raided by the FBI. And talk about just an awful, horrible, at that moment, she couldn't stay. She didn't want to stay in her home anymore. She left and she went to family because she needed an evacuation plan because of what his acting out behaviors had included. And not all of the sisters here are in that spot, but some of you are. And I want to be able to say to you, it's okay to evacuate if needed. And if that you feel like this might, something is hard right now, I might need to get ready for that also. That also may include like preparing for an evacuation right now if things seem to be increasing in severity. So you may be putting away some money so that you have enough money to go get a hotel, or enough money that you could gas the car and drive to mom's, or enough money to buy plane tickets if you need to fly, or whatever it is. For some of you sisters, when the storm comes ashore, it's really awful. And, you know, there's times in Texas where the hurricane comes in and it wipes out the entire city. There is not a building standing. And sometimes these storms can look like that. And you need to be ready to know how to take care of your family when those kind of storms come. Now, don't panic. Not everybody gets there. You know your husband's behaviors enough to know if maybe you need to plan to evacuate. Unfortunately, this sister did not know. She had no earthly clue that this was going on at all in her home. He was a computer guy and just massively good at hiding. And so when her door was basically, they came in, she was just absolutely caught flat-footed and did not know what to do. So luckily she had some support and she knew how could talk to somebody about it, but it was tough. So sometimes in this, we then create the safety of the what if we need to do that. Okay.
I'd like to maybe address how a woman might prepare herself financially if she is tied financially to her husband. What is the best way to go ahead and start setting aside money for a plane ticket or gas or money or food or shelter or whatever she needs?
Yeah. It's, let me just say this first. It's not uncommon for financial abuse to be happening in these relationships. And some of the women feel like I couldn't do anything without him knowing. And if I start doing that, he's going to get wise and he's going to get upset at me. And I don't want to face that burden and that scary space of what's going to happen if he finds out. And so a lot of sisters have a really hard time figuring out, how can I possibly do this? I would say to you that this is when the sisters find a way to make money doing something that maybe he's not aware of. I had one sister who would go and give plasma 3 times a week. And she set up a savings account and she did that. I had another sister who was doing some crafting and selling it through Etsy. And she would just put the money aside into a private banking account. I had one sister, her story is so interesting. She was inspired to start selling cheesecakes. And she went to a restaurant and just said, she makes a really good cheesecake, and she brought in a cheesecake and said, hey, I'd like to, wondered if you would like someone to bake cheesecakes. I'd like to deliver them to you. Here's a sample. And they were like so blown away. They said, absolutely. And so she would bake 5 or 6 cheesecakes a week while he was at work and drop them off to the restaurant. And she was pocketing, and cheesecakes are very lucrative business. You know, have you ever bought one at the Cheesecake Factory? Oh my land. So she was, there are creative ways that you sisters can earn money that can be under the radar if you need to do that. Now, some sisters have said to me, I feel like I would be lying or being deceitful. This is an answer that I'm going to give you that Maurice Harker gave years ago in a Q&A that I just loved. He said, if your husband was in a healthy place, he would absolutely want you to be safe. He would want to do whatever he could to keep you safe. And that would include finances. A healthy man would want his wife to have a savings account. So just in case, if he got hit by a bus today, that there would be, that his family would be okay. Said, but your husband's not in a healthy place. And so for that reason, do not feel guilty about providing the safety that he should be providing. Okay. I will also say this. If you have family members that you can trust and are talking to, you can also talk to family members. I've had many, many sisters who've had to evacuate, and their answer is their parents have said to them, or their dad or their uncle or their aunt or their grandma, if you need my help, you only need to ask, and I will immediately wire, send, Venmo you whatever you need. Okay? So sometimes the resources of family or even friends that love and care about you, they are willing to send you money for, or buy your plane tickets, or send you the money for the gas or whatever, or put you in a hotel for a couple of nights. So don't overlook those resources that you may have that love you about people around you. For most of my sisters, that is where they are going to find their evacuation money. But I've had some who say, I couldn't share this with my family. I don't feel comfortable because they come from a family that's not really boundary well. And so they don't feel like they can share it with their families. So they have to figure this out on their own.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing this.
Yeah. One thing I could say to you is that you can pray about this. Ask for the inspiration. That's the cheesecake story. She got on her knees and asked God and said, what do I do? I have 0 spaces, no family, nobody. How do I do this? This idea to sell cheesecakes, what came as a direct result of that prayer. And it's working really, really well. Okay.
Yeah. I appreciate you sharing this because I think it is a big obstacle for women. They do feel guilty. They don't know where they're going to get funds. Mm-hmm. They want and feel and need to, they feel like they need to leave, but they don't really know how they're going to do it financially.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that.
They should not feel guilty. That's the one thing I want to say to them, is that if your husband was in a healthy space, he would want this for you. Just because he's not in a healthy space doesn't mean it's still not a right thing.
Right.
So the idea with the weather checks, basically, ladies, is that we use them when needed to assess and see where he is. And if what you hear from him or what you feel from him feels off, then you take action to create the safety he's not providing. Even if he insists he's safe, even if he says everything's fine, if he is so vehement, but you still feel it's trust your feelings. One of the things that I challenge my ladies to do is to pray for the power of discernment. Discernment is to know things as they really are. And you are going to trust you and what you feel rather than what he is saying or what he is portraying. Because unfortunately, that bridge has been broken a long time ago where you can hear his words and believe them because of his acting out behaviors. So it's time for you to lean in to your feelings and your feelings from God and the confirmations you feel more than what it is he's going to say to you.
Yeah.
And maybe someday you can go back to that. If he gets into healing, you can work your way back into that kind of trust where his word is valid. But right now, unfortunately, for most of you, that isn't a bridge that you can travel and travel safely.
Yeah. It makes me think too about even at some point, at least the patterns that I've seen are that they can say the right things and they can even do some of those box checking application type things so that it looks like they're in active recovery. And then when it comes down to it, you can really sense and feel like this isn't consistent recovery. This isn't a continuous thing that is progressing because we keep having these fallbacks.
These details.
You
know?
You only do it for so long until you just can't. It's this kind of white knuckling phase that even still it makes it hard because sometimes you even see some of the actions. So how would you, I mean, for myself, I've kind of recognized some of the patterns. I've really got in tune with my own intuition, my gut, and being able to distinguish whether there truly is safety or not. But for some of the women who are listening, who are maybe still trying to figure that out, what are some of the things that they can rely on, or how can they learn to trust themselves and their feelings better? Like, what are some ways they can do that?
Well, at first, it's a little bit like stepping into the dark because you don't feel comfortable or confident in your ability because you feel like he's lied to me for how many years and I didn't even know this was going on. So your own credibility, you just kind of shoot yourself down. And the first thing that I want to say is a lot of women say, I feel stupid. And I'll say, you know what? You're not stupid. It was right for you to trust. You should be able to trust this man who has pledged himself to you in this marriage. You're not wrong or stupid for having trusted. So that's the first thing. Get away from the idea that somehow I'm broken because I didn't know this was going on. Okay. His skill at deceit and lying doesn't have anything to do with your ability to discern this or not. The second thing is that these women are a little bit like the women who need the flags on the beach to know what to do. And the problem is that you've got to believe the flags that you are seeing or feeling. First time he says everything's fine, but you still feel like it's not and you withdraw, you're going to just feel stupid. You're going to feel like this is wrong. But I'm going to say to you, just wait. Because what happens for these women almost always invariably is they withdraw, they create the safety. And guess what? He acts out and you go, wow, I knew that was coming. I knew that ahead of time. And you'll be surprised and go, oh, maybe I can know this. And so it will be by the experiences of keeping safety and then watching him act out anyway and doing the safety and having him watch out, act out anyway. And you will eventually start to trust yourself, but you're going to have to step into the dark a little bit to be that. And Naomi, you're kind of like the people who live in Galveston who knows when the seas are not okay. You've had enough experience now that you don't have to look for all these little things. You're just going to trust yourself because you've seen this battlefield so many times. You recognize the signs. I will say to the sisters, be gentle with yourself as you go through this. You may believe what he says and then he acts out and you go, man, I was stupid. I should have trusted myself. And I'll say, you're not stupid. You're learning. You're in the learning curve. You haven't figured it out yet. But next time, maybe when you have this conversation, he says everything's fine, and all of a sudden there's a D-Day, you'll go, wow, I knew that, but I didn't trust myself. Next time I will. Okay. So sometimes we learn through the failure and sometimes we learn through the success, but either way, we're learning. Okay. Now, can I say this too? Sometimes in the weather check, we do have triggers that are just happen around us because some things are similar. So I'll give you a good example. If your husband in the past has been a visually lusting, like you go to the beach and he watches all the babes in the bikinis, that anytime you from this point on probably see a girl on a beach with a bikini, you're going to get triggered. You may even get angry that she's doing this. Like, how could you do this? Don't you know? Well, no, she doesn't know. But what I want to say to you is that as you are having this trigger, it may be just a trigger and it doesn't have any validity. It's just that girl walks through your picture and all of a sudden you get all angry at your husband and he hasn't done a thing. Okay. He hasn't done anything. Actually, you look over and he's behaving really normally. He's looking at his book. He's interacting with the kids. He hasn't seen this woman, or if he has, he has looked away and he is like not engaging in this, but you're still triggered. In those cases, when that happens, like if you do a weather check and what he tells you feels right, then believe what you feel. And then you don't have to put up the shutters. You don't have to go for the M&Ms. You don't have to worry about it. Now, if you feel like it's wrong and you act anyway and it doesn't come ashore, hallelujah. Roll up the windows, eat the M&Ms, invite all. In Galveston, they have what they call the hurricane parties, where when the wind blows and it doesn't come ashore, they get together, they all barbecue out, they share their M&Ms. Down in Texas, they drink a lot of beer. If it doesn't come ashore, we party, right? But if it does come ashore, then you're prepared. So what I would say is be gentle with yourself as you learn this pattern and as you learn to trust yourself. And please, please, please stop beating yourself up because somehow you weren't smart enough to see him in his deceit. That's on him. His deceit is on him. And don't you take it on as your responsibility or your failing. It's his failing because he didn't do what was trustworthy. Not yours, yeah. Because you trusted. Trusting is what you should be doing. Okay?
Yeah.
In a healthy relationship, we'll say it that way. In a healthy relationship,
you should
be able to trust. So the failing is not yours. And don't believe that I can't do this. I'm going to say to you, you can't do it yet, but you're going to keep working at it. And guess what? You're going to have lots of practice. When you have an active addict, you're going to see him. And if it's a guy that's battling this, he's still going to have lost battles because he is still learning how to fight the battle. And there will be days that he gets snuckered on the battlefield and Satan will do an end around and he never saw it coming and he's going to lose the battle. So you're going to get to practice this. But hopefully as he is practicing learning how to defeat these experiences, you're going to be learning how to discern them and creating safety when he's about to fail. And you're going to send up that yellow flag by asking the question, are you okay? Something feels like you're off. That's you running up the yellow flag. And actually, and I tell my guys, your wife says anything like this, you need to stop quick and evaluate. Because as women, we read body language really well. And if we're feeling like something's off, we may be like a pre-warning signal that if it's a guy in recovery who stops and says, wait a minute, am I okay? He may realize, hey, I'm really not okay right now. My mind has been wandering more than normal. I haven't really been doing some of my daily goals and those things. And he realizes, man, I better step it up because I don't want to be in that space, in that place. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but be gentle while you're learning. That's, I guess, the bottom line is give yourself the grace to not do it well and then do it better the next time. And that's all we can ask.
All we can do.
That's all we can ask. It's an acquired skill that you, my friend, are a Galvestonite now.
Woo, yeah.
Hey, Galveston's a great place to visit. I don't think I'd live there. They have way too many hurricanes.
I don't know if I want to have that badge, but I guess I better own it.
Well, you do want it if you're going to continue in a relationship with this guy, because it provides safety for you.
Yeah.
And it's just one of the skills that the sisters can acquire as they work at it. But don't beat yourself up if you don't do it right every time. That's a learning experience. You'll go, I should have listened. I knew. I mean, how many times has that happened in your world? where you think I should go do that right now. And then like, I should go get my checkbook. And then you don't. And then you get to the store and you don't have your checkbook. And you go, why didn't I do that when I thought about it? Why didn't I believe that? Or why didn't I follow through on that prompting to do that? And it's because I'm not good at doing that yet, but I'll get there. And I love the word yet. It means there's still a possibility. It means you can still grow. It means you're not done or finished. That word yet. Whenever we're hard on ourselves, ladies, we need to say, I don't know that yet. I wasn't smart yet. I don't know what to do yet. Because you can grow and learn and figure this out. Yeah. I believe in the great capacity of women to adapt and change and learn and grow.
Yeah,
we are good at that. We have all these children to test that theory every day.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
My appreciation for women has sure grown through this experience for sure.
Well,
we deal with a lot of crap.
Okay. Well, and this is what I know about women is that we have good hearts and we are constantly trying to figure out that nurturing thing that we have. Is just a wonderful blessing and sometimes a curse because sometimes our nurturing is not accepted and that's hard. But I do believe that the women that are going through this experience are some of the most noble and great women because they've had every reason to walk out of this marriage, yet they continue to stay with hope in their hearts and continue to fight and continue to try to figure it out. These women are just, it is an honor to work with these women because they are some of the best in the world. Because they just have not accepted defeat and they continue to battle for their families and with hope in their hearts, hope that this will change. Yeah. So that is you, sisters that are listening. Good for you. You are one of the good ones. You're one of the ones that are talked about as great and noble. Okay. So you just keep hanging in there, doing what you know to do and just trying your best and give yourself the grace of yet.
Yeah. Thank you, Jody.
Any further questions about this today? Or
no, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. Welcome. We really appreciate your insights and help with this. And we appreciate that you're in the battle with us. We feel support from you. And if you haven't heard Jody's episode on self-care, she joined us last year in episode number 30. And so listeners, if you want to hear more about Jody's thoughts on self-care, go ahead and listen to that episode. And if after listening to our interview with Jody, you found this information really helpful, we would love for you to take a minute and just give us a review on the podcast. This allows other women who are suffering in silence to find us and to find hope and direction for their lives. And just, I mean, Naomi and I have benefited so much from the Worth program, and we know that there are so many out there who are dealing with the impact of their husband's pornography use. So we really encourage you to go write the reviews so that women can find us, get the support that they need. So thank you, Jody. We appreciate your help in joining us today. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us this week on Healing with Worth. Make sure to visit our website, healingwithworth.org, if you would like to enroll in an online therapist-led support group. We'll see you next time.